That's what he's asking for us. And so let's take a look at this. The first thing it says in this verse is this: in him we have redemption through his blood. Now the phrase in the Greek here, in him, means this. It means a fixed position. A fixed position with the following benefits that are only found in him. A fixed position of the following benefits that are only found in him. And I'm going to give you a list of a few things, not all of them obviously, but a few of them. But what he is telling us is that there's benefits that come to you and I in this relationship that we have with Christ. The first one, which obviously we mentioned here, is this. It is redemption. Redemption is this. It means salvation and deliverance through the death of Christ. That's number one. Salvation and deliverance through the death of Christ. Salvation then is number one. When you came to Christ and you asked him to forgive you of your sins, he saved you. He took your sins, he washed them away, and they are gone. And all of the things that you did before Christ are no longer written in the books. All the things that you did before you ever asked Christ in your life, right now, that is a blank page in the books of God. You did not do them. They're gone. They're wiped out. They're finished. They're done. But then he goes on and says, not only then is there salvation, but he says also deliverance. Now I want to pause for just a moment. When you and I come to Christ, there is not only salvation, but there is a process of deliverance that takes place in this relationship with you and Jesus Christ. Now, oftentimes you'll hear people talk about being delivered from drugs, from alcohol, from pornography, you know, from a variety of different things. But I have served God long enough to know that he delivers us from more than those things. Do you know gossip's a sin? Lying is a sin. Arrogance and pride is sin. See, those are the things that people don't see. It's easy to look at somebody and know that they're either smoking, drinking, or whatever else. You know, I mean, there's the visible sins. But what about the invisible ones, and really the ones that are invisible to us? I mean, how many people look at you in the eye and say, hey, I'm struggling with arrogance and pride, pray for me? Don't usually get that prayer request. Or help me with this and help me with that. Or I got to control my mouth. Help me with my gossip. You know, those are all things that are part of this human nature. And so as I was writing this, I realized that God's in the process of delivering us from things. So yeah, maybe he's worked on your life and you don't do some of these other things, but what about the stuff that we need to be aware of? There's greed. That's wrong. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so there's a lot of things that we in this flesh that we carry that we need to be delivered from. And we all need it. I mean, I'm just as human as you are human. And so God needs to deal with me just as much as he deals with you guys. And so as you look at this, we need to realize that not only am I saved, but he's in the process of delivering me. And it isn't just those sins that I just mentioned. There's all these other things that we don't pay attention at all in our lives. But arrogance, pride, gossip, greed, I mean, boom, 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 the list can go on. And those are all things that God would deal with us about, or whatever it is. And again, not in a sense of guilt, but in a sense of, we need to get rid of this because I want to draw you closer to me. The next one in this, not only is redemption then salvation and deliverance, it also means that the penalties and or the punishments of those sins are now gone. The penalties and the punishments of those sins are not gone. When before Christ, you were going to answer to God for the sins in your life. Now that you're a Christian, you're not going to answer for those things. They're gone. The penalties are gone. Now I'm going to answer for how I lived my life under the Lord. I'm going to be accountable for the things that I've done as a pastor or not done. We're going to answer for those things, but I'm not going to answer for the sins. He goes, those are now gone. And it says, and through his blood. The phrase through his blood, it is this. This is the channel that is being used as the saving power. The channel that is being used for the saving power is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why when we come to the communion table, the communion scripture says, do not eat or drink of this in an unworthy manner, because if you do, you drink damnation to yourself. You see, there's got to be a sense of self-examination before you grab the cup and you drink the bread or eat the bread. Man, I was about 10, 12 years old, maybe a 9 or something, and we started going to this little Methodist church. Man, I mean, I love seeing those communion trays up there. First, it was a mid-morning snack, really, and secondly, we got out of church earlier because it was communion. No one told us to check our hearts. No one told us that if you partake of this and you're not right with God, you're drinking damnation to yourself. That was never told to me, ever, in church. I did not know that until I started reading the Bible for myself, and I read in Corinthians where Paul says, if your heart isn't right, don't take communion, because you're just burying yourself in more trouble. He says, you got to check your heart. But he says, examine, let a man examine himself, and so eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That's what this is about, looking into our own hearts. So the blood of Jesus Christ then is the channel that is being used for this saving power. Now, the idea here is also this. Not only is it the channel, there is absolutely no other way to Christ, period. I don't care what people taught you. I don't care what you read. I don't care what you hear on the radio or on the television or anything else. Salvation only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ and you and I accepting what he's done and asking him to forgive us. That is salvation. It is not the amount of money that you spend. It is not how many times you attend a church. It is not going through catechisms, catacombs, or anything else, repeating some reading on a Sunday morning. That is not salvation. Salvation is asking for forgiveness, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is doing that. That is the power. So he goes on there, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the next part of 7, the forgiveness of sin. Clearly, he says, this is the forgiveness of sin. And again, forgiveness of sin includes this. It is the release from bondage, imprisonment, and offenses. Dealing with that. He says, when you've been forgiven, you are being released from bondages. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, there were some things in my life that I was bringing into the kingdom of God that I was instantly set free from. And there was other things that I struggled and stumbled over until God got a hold of me and I was able to get set free. Just honest truth. You had to sit down and be honest with yourself. Okay, Lord, I need help with this. I know that I can't be doing this. I'm going to go into the ministry. And so, you got to help me get delivered from this. I was fortunate. I mean, when I got saved, the desire to drink was completely gone. And I've told you this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, man, but I had an awful time quitting smoking. Man, that was tough, especially with that first cup of coffee in the morning. It was hard. And I remember I was coming up to my last year of Bible college. And honest, I would go to Bible college. I had a bottle of Brut in the car. And I'd roll my window down and I'd smoke my cigarette and I'd puff it out the window hoping they wouldn't smell it when I walked into the college, into Bible college. Then grab the Brut on, splash it all out, going, they'll never know. And I realized now I smelled like Brut and cigarettes. So I, but duh. And I finally came to the Lord and I was honest with him. I said, Lord, I know I can't go into the ministry with this habit, but I also got to tell you, I need to have you set me free because I like doing it. And I prayed that prayer, and the next morning I got up, I went to reach for my cigarettes, and the desire was gone. And the Spirit, you know, I didn't realize it was the Holy Spirit then, but I realized, you know, whoa, I don't have a desire for that. We'll see, you know, how if you were a smoker, you know how, you know, the craving's got to come around somewhere, right? And sooner or later it's going to hit you. You need a smoke. And, you know, I went that day, and nothing. So, okay. Got up the next day, no desire. Got up the next day, the third day, no desire. Got up the fourth day, and I thought, it's been 3 days. God has set me free, and I took them, and I crushed them, and threw them out. But if I wouldn't have been honest with God, it would have never happened. I had to tell, and see, all I did was say, I can't do this without you. You have to help me, God. You have to set me free. Otherwise, I can't do this. And so we bring things to the kingdom of God, and he's the one that has to set us free. So the bondage, imprisonment, offenses, you know, the hate, the anger, the bitterness, all those things that we experience in life, that God comes through and he sets us free. And then he goes on here and says this. Again, forgiveness is the pardon of sin and then letting them go as though they had never been committed. I love that. I love that translation. You know, forgiveness is the pardoning of sins, letting them go as though they had never been committed. God says it's done. It's under the blood. Then only is the remission of the penalty of the sin. That's right. That is now gone. And then sins are the acts, the conduct, the violation of God's law. And then the final part of it is this. It says, according to the riches of his grace. The word according here means distributed by or distributed through. In other words, he says, I am giving you this, but I am doing it through my grace. My grace that is extended to you. The riches here simply means the fullness or the abundance of that grace, and then the word grace. So he says, all of this is being distributed, given to you through God's grace, and the grace is this. It is of the kindness by which God bestows favors, number one. Of a kindness by which God bestows favors. There is no doubt, and we hear people say it, I say it all the time, is that we are extremely blessed in this nation. Does it have problems? You bet they do. We do. But I'll tell you what, I've been to enough places now. I'll take our problems as opposed to theirs. I'm just saying. You know, there's always going to be problems. You got people and humans all working, trying to figure things out, groping in darkness, trying to figure a direction for nations and for lives and for everything else. You know, and that's how the world is. But you're not part of this world. And God has bestowed us with favors and benefits. And I know there's some times in your life that you don't feel so grateful. You know, so you got to get up and go to work tomorrow, and you're like, I got to go to work. I know. But there's also times you need to be thankful you got a job. You know, and we get to go out, most of us, we're going to go out in some pretty nice vehicles when we leave church today. You know, I mean, God's been good to us in so many ways, and so much we take for granted, and we shouldn't. And so he's given us this salvation. He has benefited us with favors that come from him. And then the other one, second part, it's a grace that says, come and accept salvation through Christ. Come and accept salvation through Christ. And an extension to you and I that he says, come. At some point in your life, you didn't know Christ. You didn't even want Christ. Some of you, I bet. Some of you didn't care. I don't want that church stuff. I'm not going to church. You know, leave me alone. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, here you are. What did God do to make you bow your knee and say yes to him? What part of you did he break? What part of you woke up and said, man, I need a savior? for some of us that are really thick-headed, it almost cost us our lives. Knowing that if I'd have died without Christ, I'd have gone to hell that night I had that car accident. But by his grace, he didn't let me die that night. What about you? What stubborn part of you had to be broken? What piece of you needed to hear that he loved you? And that if you'll just come and ask, if you'll just come and say yes, man, I'll wash your sins away. I'll forgive you all the nonsense you did in your past, all the mistakes that you have made, everything that you've ever done. If you'll just come to me and say, yes, I will redeem, I will forgive, I will wash. He took us that said, no, no, thanks. And all of a sudden now we're saying, not only thanks, but, you know, Lord, can you help me now? So somewhere in all of us, whatever that was, that wall that might have been up, he knew a way of bringing it down. And I want to remind you, when you're praying for your unsaved loved ones, let me make a suggestion. Don't tell God what to do and how to save them. Say, God, whatever it takes to bring them to Christ, you need to do. Because I'll tell you, and I know people don't like hearing it because they get all worried about their kids or family or whatever, but Jesus says, you know, it's better for you to go through this world with what? One eye, one hand, one foot, than to spend an eternity in hell. Lord, what will it take for you to melt their heart? And I'm sure that if we went through the congregation this morning and I had a microphone, I'd say, now, how did you come to Christ? You know, there would be some similar stories, but I'm going to venture to guess that most of it would be just a little bit different. You know, for me, it took a car accident and almost getting killed. For Dawn, her sister was killed in a head-on collision. She was only 20-some years old, and her little, how old was Chastity? 3-year-old daughter was in the back seat, and Mom was dead in the front. When they came on the scene, Chastity was kind of roaming around the accident. How long after that did I lead you to Christ? A couple months. Because she knew something wasn't right. You see, it's not always easy when he intervenes. It's not always easy when things happen. But you know what? It's not going to be. People need to be broken in their pride to say they need a redeemer. And if we can't, if he doesn't do that, then that arrogance just permeates through, hey, I can do this all on my own. Well, no, we can't. I mean, you can. But I'm telling you, Jesus just makes it a whole lot easier. So with those things said, we have the communion in front of us, and I'm going to ask the guys to come up if they would, and they're going to pass out the bread first.